At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. This is a fun segment. I love talking college football. Josh Pate, national college football analyst for 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports headquarters, at Late Kick Josh. He is a must follow. Josh, welcome back to the show. Great to have you. How you doing?
I hope it's as beautiful in Houston this morning as it is Nashville. I'm about to find a reason to get out of the office the rest of the day.
Oh, it's perfect here. It's like 120% humidity. It's perfect outside
here. The dew point's elevated at 74%. Dew point, by the way, don't look at humidity. Look at dew point.
Dew point is underrated.
They say if dew point hits 70, it's considered, quote-unquote, oppressive.
That's what. And guess what? It's like 90 here.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, Josh, you got some thoughts on your – and if you got to go to Josh's Twitter feed to see his thoughts on Urban Meyer. Interesting that Nebraska wants talking about him anyway. My son got a little insight. My son played at Missouri State under Dave Steckel. Worst program, and I'm not even joking. FBS, FCS, doesn't matter. Division II, III, worst program ever. Bobby Petrino comes there a couple of years later, and they're almost beating Arkansas. They're in the college football playoffs. Bobby Petrino, forget Urban Meyer with his stuff. Any chance Bobby Petrino is coaching a big time program again?
Yeah, there is. This conversation fascinates me. The entire conversation around ethics, character, and everyone defines those things differently, by the way. So this entire conversation around this right now, it's a program-to-program kind of thing, and it may even be a booster-to-booster, administrator-to-administrator kind of thing as to how people feel. My feel on it is there are things that would be non-negotiables for me. You know, if I'm over here at Pate State and I'm looking to hire a guy to lead my program, there are things that are non-negotiables. And I would definitely have to sit you down and man-to-man look you in the eye, and I would have to be sold on the fact that you are the right person to lead me. But what I'm not hiring is I'm not hiring an angel. I'm hiring a football coach. And when I pack my stadium on Saturday, they're not packing the stadium so that we can unroll a scroll from end zone to end zone of all of your good works, and there's no blemish here, no blemish there. They want to see a product on the field that makes them proud. And so when we consider how many programs there are out there in any given hiring cycle and how desperate they are in any given hiring cycle and how proven a commodity someone like Petrino is or even someone like Meyer is, my answer is an unequivocal yes. Now, what I don't think is Bobby Petrino, 5 minutes after all that went down at Arkansas, was about to get another gig somewhere. Nor do I think Urban Meyer, in the next 5 minutes, is about to get a gig. Nor do they need it, because that's not really how PR works, and that's a part of this, obviously. But I think down the road, in Meyer's case, after he sits in a TV studio a couple of years, or maybe Petrino, after he runs off the rest of what he's going to do this year, yes, I think there's going to be an opportunity somewhere for someone like that.
Now, Art Briles crossed your line, right?
I think, yeah, and you're delving into an entirely different set of issues, because with Petrino, what his transgressions were personal transgressions, whereas when you're talking about Art Briles, I mean, you're talking about legitimate victims that on his watch suffered, and the victimization from what Bobby Petrino did is he handled himself poorly and people lost their jobs who were associated with him. And that's not nothing. I understand that. But yeah, we're talking about two totally different pools there.
Yep. All right. Josh Pate, he has got out, and you're catching a bunch of grief over it, especially Danny Cannell. What are you thinking, Danny Cannell? You've got your power ratings out for college football. All right. And that's different than ranking. So you got Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State. That's what everybody's got, right? You got OU, then Michigan, then Penn State.
Woo, PSU's kind of low there. I saw that smooth. Wait, that's where you were last week, right? Were you at Penn State, Auburn? Where were you last week?
I was at Penn State,
Auburn. What an ass kicking that was. After the first, Penn State went down, and I think they got a field goal, and then Auburn went down and scored a touchdown. If I remember correctly, I think that's how it went. And I remember thinking, boy, the speed of the SEC, this is going to be a good one. And I mean, Josh, total ass kicking after that. Just really impressive performance by Penn State at an SEC opponent that was loud.
Yeah, not a real SEC opponent.
Oh, let me tell you, though, it was loud. I mean, there's still SEC athletes.
Brian Harsin led team.
There's still SEC athletes on the field. Supposedly the SEC is always better than the Big Ten. Their athletes are so much better. The crowd was rocking. I thought the crowd was really into it. Only, you know, it's also early in the season. But what a statement, I thought, by Penn State.
Yeah, okay, so I could respond to what was just said for about 30 minutes, but here's how I'll condense it down. And I'll circle back around to the whole Cannell situation, because, yes, it does need to be addressed. So there were SEC athletes on the field Saturday. Here's the problem. If I were to put potato sacks on everyone and you didn't know who was who, you would have thought Penn State was the SEC team.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really fully ready for that, to be honest, guys. I've watched both of them play on TV already this year. But I kid you not, if you would have stood on the field, I just stand on the sideline the whole game. I like it down there better. And when you're watching them, Penn State's bigger, they're faster, they're stronger. And if you go back and you look at historic recruiting rankings for these rosters over the past five cycles, the recruiting blue chip ratio indicates to you they should be pretty comparable rosters. They're not. Whatever happened once they got on campus, I can assure you they're doing something better at Penn State than they have been at Auburn. Secondly, that first or second drive, if you'll remember, Sean Clifford got depleted. And it happened right there in front of me. And it's the kind of hit where you just know he's gone. He's out of the game. They're about to bring in the true freshman back up, and they'll probably have to run a condensed version of whatever their offensive game plan is.
Yeah.
And then he gets up. 40 seconds later, they run QB sneak with him. Had you gone to the bathroom and you missed the play, you never would have known the hit even happened. It had that little total impact on the game. Penn State goes right on about their business. I've been to Jordan-Hare Stadium for games many times. I've never seen the place empty out like that. Mm-hmm. It was emptying late third quarter. It was pretty much empty 10 minutes to go in the game.
Hey,
and that's the place where they showed up. They were ready, man. They were charged, and they were still behind Harsin. And I've never seen a situation with a coaching hot seat, I guess you want to call it, change so radically over the course of one afternoon.
Mm-hmm. That's how Joe Burrow won over LSU in that bowl game against Central Florida. We'll see. I've never been a big Sean Clifford guy, but
I haven't either. But he played well. Sean Clifford has been a bad quarterback chunks, but he was good on Saturday. He's actually been good so far.
Here's what he is, though. To me, here's what he is. He's a guy who is not Bryce Young. He's not C.J. Stroud. He's not capable of carrying a team on his shoulders. But since they haven't had a ground game there until 5 minutes ago, it's what he's had to do if they were going to win anything. If you watch them Saturday, all of a sudden, it's not every single play, let's see what Sean can do. All of a sudden, it was Sean handing off to someone, let's see what that guy can do. Sean, quick slant to someone, let's see what this guy can do after the catch. If Penn State can do that, if they got plus offensive line play, and they have complementary pieces, especially like Nick Singleton, that true freshman back there, he's plenty good enough to do everything they need him to do. He just needs those complementary pieces around him, which he has for the first time.
I'm looking at your poll. It's your rankings, your power ratings. I think just a couple of thoughts. I'm not going to Danny Cannell you, but I think you got Tennessee too high at 7. I saw him against Pitt. I didn't think they were all that impressive. I think you got SC too low at 11, and I think you got Kentucky way too low at 19.
Okay, here's the problem. I know what you mean by that, because if I was doing a merit-based ranking system like the AP, I'd have Kentucky in my top 10. So I totally get what you're saying. All I do with that thing, to me it's the least controversial thing I do, somehow it doesn't get interpreted that way. All I'm doing is taking what a computer spits at me, and it's made to generate hypothetical point spreads. So it's just who would be favored against who, neutral field tomorrow. And with Kentucky, I mean, I'm just telling you, there are 15 teams in this country that would be favored against Kentucky. As we've seen with Kentucky, doesn't mean it would matter. because they just went in the swamp and beat Florida as about a touchdown underdog. But that's kind of the way that works. That's like the SEC title game last year. Bama thrashes Georgia. They play again a month later. Georgia's still favored. And I, for some reason, I think a lot of people in those replies, including Mr. Cannell, have already forgotten that fact.
You think LSU and Kentucky are pretty comparable?
The teams are radically different, but the in totality and the aggregate, yeah, I think that if you were to put them on the field tomorrow, the line that you would get from Vegas would be pretty close to pick them.
You think so? I think that Kentucky has a level of consistency.
Yeah, that's what LSU doesn't have. LSU has been dominant in the fourth quarter, dominant in both of their wins against Mississippi State and their loss against Florida State, but dominated in the fourth quarter. But they haven't shown up really in the first half against anybody.
Yep. I think the counter to that would be overall talent level on a roster is obviously going to be taken into account, and LSU is going to have that little bit of an edge. So I'm talking about when you're generating a point spread. I'm not talking about how the game plays out. How the game plays out, look, if Vegas were to put out that pick 'em, I'd probably be right there with you guys cashing the Kentucky ticket. I just think that's how the spread would be generated on that.
It would be interesting, I think. I think when you look at, let's bring it close to home for a second. Texas, we knew they had a sneaky game where they could come out flat, and they did for the first half. They showed up in the second half. Texas A&M, on the other hand, that was, I know Jimbo gets out of there with a win. You have a brand new quarterback in Max Johnson. I still come out of that game, and I see the mistakes Mario Cristobal made, the mistakes like the fumble punt that Miami made. I don't necessarily feel a whole lot better about Texas A&M despite the win against Miami. I still think that I think they're a pretty good defense, and I still think there's just not enough on offense. That if this game gets into the 20s, it's hard for them to win these games, I think.
Yeah, here's why I'm glad they're playing Arkansas this week. The first thing is Miami put up nearly 5 yards per carry.
Yeah,
and Miami
they ran
had 27 first downs and didn't find the end zone. So explain to me how that happens. But I saw a lot in that game that reminded me of the App State game. And even when it comes to total plays, I think Miami had 77 to A&M's 50-something. So the box score really kind of indicated that it was a replay of the App State game. It's just that Miami had a ton of critical drops. That wide receiver core should be locked up for about 3 months, by the way. They had a ton of critical drops, procedural penalties and whatnot. And so A&M gets the win. The reason I'm glad they're playing Arkansas is because if that run defense for A&M is a little more leaky than recruiting rankings indicate it should be, then Arkansas will expose it. And on the other hand, Arkansas has got one of the worst statistical pass defenses in America right now. And if we're ever going to see A&M break through, if we're ever going to see them, who knows, do something crazy like crack 20 points on the scoreboard, it'll be against Arkansas. And so if we're ever going to see a couple of things truly found out about them, I think it's this Saturday's game. I think that's why it's one of the must-see games in the country this Saturday.
A&M's still a favorite, 1.5.
I can't believe that.
I can't either.
Well, after that Missouri State game, I'm telling you, I watched it, I was like, holy crap, Missouri State is going to pull this off. At Late Kick Josh on Twitter. Josh, I went to the U of H Kansas game, and like you, when you saw Penn State and when I saw Kansas, wait till you see this offensive line. When you get up close with this team, this ain't your brother's Kansas team or your sister's Kansas team.
God forbid he has to get up close with a Kansas
team. Listen,
he's trying to go to the best games every week.
Listen, Kansas is a decent football team now.
See, now all of a sudden it's – so my wife's a Longhorn. You know that, Josh. I think we talked in the press box. But my wife is a Longhorn. Oh, it's all fun and games when Kansas is beating Texas. Now, they're a damn good football team when they beat Houston.
Well, no, but
this is a tough.
Listen,
but they are.
They've been validating that win.
Good dual threat quarterbacks change everything.
Well, that's not a good dual threat quarterback. That guy is a difference maker.
Yeah, he is.
He is lightning that dude, and he really knows how to run the option. Unlike a lot of guys, he knows how to option football.
They, they recently played West Virginia. They won 55-42, and that's got Neil Brown in some hot water up there because people rightfully are saying, how come Lance Leopold's come into Lawrence, Kansas, and done in half the time what you haven't been able to do here? And what was funny is once those West Virginia folks got to see that quarterback, all they could say was, is that Pat White? Is that their Pat White? That looks like Lawrence Pat White. And I finally got to see him play, not in person yet, although who knows, man, if they keep winning. I think they got Iowa State next week, so keep that on your radar. But I can't believe what he's done there. And it's happening at the exact right time, because look at all these jobs that are coming open. And look at what Lance may have his choice of. It's the, to me, if you've got a job opening, either now or about to come open, there are so many interesting candidates in the Sun Belt. There are so many interesting candidates like Lance Leopold that are on the come up that are not at a current place that's probably equipped to hold on to them if it comes to a bidding war. And they're also builders. Like Lance Leopold has built, and he's done it pretty quickly, and he's shown he knows how to work the transfer portal. So I can't wait. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I can't wait to watch Kansas the rest of this year. And then I can't wait to watch Leopold just in general to see where his career arc takes him.
Well, the thing is, though, is the offense. And you got to have that guy to run it. He reminded me of Tommy Frazier. That's how good, how well he runs the option. But the thing is that the kind of offense that you want and it's going to win at the highest level? Winning at Kansas is one thing. Winning at the highest level is another.
Yeah, it is. Well, so here would be my counter. Right now, what Jimbo does at Texas A&M, and I think the last time I was on with you guys, I talked about this. The higher on the food chain you go, the more options you give yourself in terms of philosophy, in terms of system. So sometimes when you're at a place like Kansas or you're at a lower-level program, the system that you run is dictated by the kind of athlete you can get. When you get up the food chain, you get to the highest level, you can get any kind of athlete you want, and you can tailor it to whatever system you want. So to me, when I look at someone who has a system that works at the lower level, I don't know that I doubt its ability to translate once you move up the ladder a few rungs. I just think you're going to up the level of athleticism that you're going to be able to plug into that system, thus more depth, thus more versatility and variety that you can sprinkle into the system. Listen, I don't know any defensive coordinator out there that if you were to watch what Lance Leopold is doing right now and you were to say, take that, keep it executing at that level, give them a little bit better athletes in the aggregate, that would be excited about playing against that.
But you got to have Daniels. You got to have the guy who's pulling that trigger.
Yeah, but don't tell me that Kansas can get that and Nebraska can't. You know what I mean? They're right there, neighboring states. Nebraska's gone into a complete and total tank. And it is, just embarrassing. And we got to break it here. But I do think there is – I do think a really good coach can make a huge difference when it comes to building a program. At some point, though, it turns into recruiting.
Yeah. Well, and it
you
turns
can portal in, your way in
again,
early. But
again, you can have all those guys and all the Jimmys and Joes, but – you got to have that guy pulling that trigger that like he is. He's special. I'm telling you, that dude.
Same with Sean Clifford.
Yeah. No, not so much. All right, that is Josh Pate at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. He's a must follow. Great stuff as always. We really appreciate your time, Josh, every week. Good stuff, and we'll talk to you again next
week.
Thanks,
Josh.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, there's Josh. Josh Pate right here on ESPN 97.5.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.